Well, I wonder, this is Stir Up Sunday tradition, how far we've got with our stirring up. Who's still stirring? Who's stirring for their cakes? Oh, they're all done. They're all your cakes done. Good. Are they still in Marks and Spencer?
Yeah.
Or somewhere else? Is that where they are? Okay, right. Well, I must confess, I haven't done any of those things either, so that's okay. But we're gradually getting things together, aren't we? We're preparing for Advent and of course Christmas. But today is Stir Up Sunday, when we're trying to remind ourselves that we need stirring up as well, actually. Have our faith stirred within us, that we can serve Christ and be closer to Him, and allow Him to be closer to us. It's an important time of the year. It's a preparation time and getting ready time. Does anybody know Thomas Smith? The Thomas Smith. Ah, brilliant answer. Crackers. Not Thomas Smith. This is something that Thomas Smith made all those years ago. You bought your crackers yet? Or have you made them? Thomas Smith. Yeah, all way back in 1846, he devised crackers. And it was obviously a celebration. There are different theories going around why he did this, but obviously it was for a bit of fun. And initially, it used for little messages of love to inside the crackers. Now they're crazy jokes, aren't they, basically? But also inside here is something else that we need to have a look at. Do one of the children give me a hand to pull one of these crackers? Are you give me a hand? Are you good at pulling crackers? What about the two of them? They're good at that? They never work. You know that they're making noise, don't you? A little gift. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
You kind of spin it. You can have it on. There you go. What else have we got on here? So we've got the usual crackers joke. What do you call an elephant that cries? A jumbo
jet.
And they don't get any better than that. So there you go. But also in here, of course, we all love to wear, actually I don't know what I'm wearing, so, do you want to wear the hat, Brian? Good. So there's always a crown in here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So,
I
should crown you. There you go. Right there. There's always a crown. Do you like wearing your crowns?
Yeah.
Just feel a bit odd, don't they, really? So those of you who do, you can wear them on either hat. That's really good. Thank you very much. But it's also reckoned that, that around Epiphany time, just prior to that, and on 12th night, leading into Epiphany, that actually there was thought of the crown representing some sort of royal presence. It had a kind of a royal feel about it. Nothing, of course, to do with the Christian faith at all, I think. But nevertheless, today being also the Feast of Christ the King, it may just be that we are to think about the importance of Christ, who is King of this world, the King of Kings, and supposed to be King of our lives. So maybe if you put your hat on at all this year, he was also supposed to be the King of your life too. As you put that crown on. And he's supposed to have, just like that, he's supposed to have rulership over your life. He's supposed to be the royal presence during these celebrations between Advent up to Twelfth Night and into Epiphany. He is supposed to be your royal presence. And we were reading, or Charles was reading for us, how we are marked in him, in Christ, with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. And it seals things within us. And God is present in your life. And you are a child of the King. So you can put on your hats this year, just for a little while. remember that he's supposed to be king of your life. And he's supposed to have rule and authority over the way in which you live your life and the things that you will do. And if he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is the one that's to rule over your heart as well. So if you look at the image up there, there's lots of words that are true about Jesus, really. He's the King of Love, the Prince of Peace, he is Messiah, he is the King of Love, my Shepherd is. We're going to be singing that a bit later on. He represents goodness, and of course, he is our Redeemer. He is Messiah, all sorts of other things too. And that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying when we receive him into our lives. That he is the way, the truth, and the life for us. That he is to lead us into everything that is right. But if it is true, then those of us who are following him, of course, should begin to serve him. We should be serving him in this life. And actually, like the sheep and goats story, it's true that there ought to be some evidence that we are doing the things that he wants, which is, you know, feeding the hungry, looking out for those who are distressed and marginalised within our communities, and not just looking after ourselves. So it's a very important challenge to us all, a challenge that we need to embrace as perhaps we prepare through Advent to think about the coming of Christ into this world all those years ago, and of course coming once again in the future, yet to be known about, but he will arrive. And what will he find amongst his people? How will we have served him? And will we know that we're a part of his family? Well, I was told that we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit as a seal of everything that's to come. So maybe this year, when you do pull your Christmas crackers, put your crown on for a bit, but be mindful that you're doing that because you're children of the King. The King who wants lordship of your life, the way you live it, and all that you do, and all that you are.